On September 28th, Jim Lind reported a Smith's longspur in Two Harbors in the grassy area near the historical trains, hanging out with a small flock of Lapland longspurs. Smith's longspur is considered a regular species in Minnesota because it's reported virtually every year by at least a few birders, but it can only be reasonably expected at all in mid-October in grasslands in the western part of the state, especially at Rothsay Wildlife Management Area in Wilkin County or the Russell Sewage Ponds in Lyon County. It's also been seen more sporadically during spring and fall in Duluth and along the North Shore. I've only seen Smith's longspur once before, in Arkansas in 2006 when I was spending a month there with my friend Paula Lozano during the ivory-billed woodpecker craze. We knew that Smith's longspur was a regular winter resident at the Stuttgart Municipal Airport, so we took a little drive there. I could not believe how friendly the airport staff was. We went into the office, they saw our binoculars, and told us where to go to look for the bird. One guy mentioned that we should get off the runway if we saw any airplanes. I cannot think of any advice that holds up more universally than that. Other than that useful tip and the lifer, I've not had anything to show for my visit to the Stuttgart airport except an extremely pixelated photo of a distant Smith's longspur. I badly wanted to add one to my Minnesota list and maybe even get a better picture. So last weekend, Russ and I drove up to Two Harbors, but although we got great looks at all the birds and two small flocks of Lapland longspurs, we could not find the Smiths. Then on October 3rd, Clinton Nienhaus reported a Smith's longspur at the old Stella Jones Pier in West Duluth. Like the one reported in Two Harbors, this one was hanging out with Lapland longspurs. According to the Sibley Guide to Birds, Smith's longspur, quote, does not mix with other longspurs. But the Sibley Guide weighs just about 3 pounds. It's too big for almost any birder to lug around, so it makes sense that a 1-ounce bird would not be consulting it for lifestyle guidance. I headed out there as soon as I got the word, but I'd never before gone to the old Stella Jones Pier, which now is nothing but an abandoned fallow field with no signs to identify it. I found myself bewildered, not knowing where to go, and gave up. I got a message on Friday that Kim Eckert had seen it that morning. Russ happened to be home for lunch, so I showed him where it was supposed to be on the map, and he knew exactly where that was, because he's collected water samples in the slips there. So we jumped in the car to try again, bringing our little birding dog Pip along. There were at least 200 Lapland longspurs, 45 horned larks, and 2 American pipits hanging around in the large area, so searching for one buffy outlier was a little tricky, made even more so by one unusually buffy Lapland longspur. I got 2 excellent but quick looks at the Smiths. The first time it flew just as I was grabbing my camera. The second time I kept it in view through my binoculars in flight and got a great look at, but no photos, of the wider amount of white edging in its tail compared to the other birds. Smith's longspur has 2 white outer tail feathers, while the Lapland longspur has only 1. I'm sure Pip has been with me at least once before when I've seen Lapland longspurs, but I somehow neglected to add that fairly common species to her life list until now. Her total is now up to 270. She was happy when I told her that, in the same way that she's happy when I tell her the Cubs won, or I say, "Look, Pip, it stopped raining," or "Look, Pip, it's raining." I took a photo of her out there. Unfortunately, I only brought my long lens, so you can't see the little birds flying about, to explain why I'm now calling her my very own Pippi Longspur. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.